Pennsylvania is the one that gave us the gay president. We sat on his bed. Remember, we went on that field trip. You don't remember shit.
I don't.
We're recording now, just in case anybody was wondering. We are recording now.
Hat's so dusty.
Why is your hat dusty?
I don't know.
I think you're a dusty fella.
It's not soaking wet.
Why is it? What? What are you talking about?
I had a big flood in my apartment.
Oh, yeah. Jeff had a big flood in his apartment, Dustin. What happened?
Something happened with my washer. I put a load of laundry in and went to take a nap. And then when I woke up, the whole hallway was just flooded and the clothes in the washer were still dry.
Well, did the shop vac that you came over and borrowed work?
I did. I came over and got your shop vac. I got a lot of it up, but I still got more to go.
And it's going to be a long night for you.
Yep.
Make sure you, I want that sparkling clean when you return it.
I'm sure you could eat off that thing when he picked it up.
Good thing I didn't give you my old shop vac, the one that was just filled with cat shit. When our basement flooded, I had to, and the cat went down there. I had to clean it all up. It was like cement and poop. Hi, everybody. What is this? This is episode 17, season 6, episode 17. Tonight, we have guests. Well, today, whenever you listen to this podcast, we have a guest. Hopefully, we'll have two. Definitely have Waco O'Gwin. He is one of the creators and producers for the hit show Paradise PD, which is an animated funny show you can see on Netflix. And what was this show before that?
What was
Brickleberry?
Brickleberry, yeah.
Right, Brickleberry.
Daniel Tosh was the little bear, Brickleberry.
And Brickleberry was on Comedy Central?
Comedy Central, yeah.
Yeah. That was a funny show. And so is Paradise PD. They're getting ready to do season 3, and then they have an overall deal that they're going to talk to us about. Hopefully we'll get Roger on, but if not, Waco is just as good as having both of them. Are you guys okay after the big revelation from Harry and his wife? I forget her name. Meghan Markle.
That stuffy royals are racist. Yeah.
A 99-year-old man who's in the hospital. She did say she was speaking to Oprah on CBS, I guess. Was it 60 Minutes or was it a special all by itself? Shows you.
I have no idea.
I really stopped caring about the royal family when Princess Diana died. Prior to that, I mean, everybody our age had the ability to. I mean, it was on every channel. When Princess Diana married Prince Charles or Lady Diana, it was a big spectacle. It was in the middle of the day and you could, you know, watch it at home. I watched some of it. She had that long train and there were thousands and thousands of people there. And then the other one there, was it Edward or Andrew married Fergie a couple of years later? Was it Andrew or? I don't remember.
I'm not, I don't keep up with it that much.
Whichever one was friends with Jeffrey Epstein and was banging the teenage girls on his island. He had a problem sweating. So that one, they got married and theirs, of course, ended in divorce. So did Charles's. They didn't really care about, the last one, his oldest kid, the one that looks like him, got married. See, I really don't know. I don't know about these people. They're in the news constantly. What's his name? It's not Prince. Prince Harry's
Prince old. William?
Yeah, Prince William. He married the demure, skinny, you know, she was made to be a princess type of thing. So basically what we found out from watching this show is that the royal family is racist. They were worried about the color of the skin of the baby. I don't see why they would. Meghan Markle is a victim, even though she's set for life and a multimillionaire. Complaining, by the way, with her husband, who's also set for life and a millionaire, to a billionaire it's so ridiculous on the surface that if you dive into it, it couldn't be any stupider. But that was dominating all day. Did you guys pay any attention to that?
No, I did not.
Good.
Only in passing, only when it was popping up. But I mean, no revelation that came about that I saw was anywhere near surprising.
No. I mean,
that's par for the course for a royal family, I would think.
Certainly one in England.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Like in a Western nation that still has a monarchy, most of them don't have monarchies anymore.
Yeah, the ones that are still holding on to that, that mindset, and which is slowly fading even in their own country. I mean, the royal family is not held in the regard that it used to.
No. Well, not by the native people of Great Britain, traditional, British people, but they have a huge population of people who aren't native to the island or the United Kingdom. And though I don't see those people showing fealty to a queen or a king, Charles will be king. He probably won't reign very long. His mother lived forever. And then it'll be William. So we'll see. But anyway, congratulations to everybody who got all excited about that. And now everybody fights about it on Twitter. You don't like her because she's an African-American. No. You don't like him because he's a ginger. Well, okay, that's true.
But you do hate all gingers.
No, I like ginger. I like everybody. I don't have a problem with anybody. I think it's silly to dislike people because they have a recessive gene that makes their hair red.
And they have no souls.
That's true, but they can't help it. They're born into the world that way. They are descended from the red-haired giants who used to dominate this world, and they had two rows of teeth, and you can find their bodies in mounds or in the basement of the Smithsonian where their skeletons are hidden by the federal government. Hey, if you don't believe me, go fuck yourself. Speaking of royalty, everybody watch Coming to America, the return of Zamunda to our popular culture.
Yeah, I watched it.
Thoughts?
Rick Ross has too much fucking money.
Yeah, that was his house they filmed the palace in.
So what? That's awesome. That was his house. I'm like, dude has the biggest private pool in the entire country, if not the world. I know it's the country for sure. That house is pretty awesome. No.
Yeah. My wife was like, she goes, the palaces and everything else, it just didn't have the same scope to it. And I was like, well, that's, this is being filmed practically in a real house as opposed to matte paintings that were used in the 80s, or 90s making, the original. I said, yeah, I mean, just the fact that they were able to pull that off using his property was pretty amazing. Of course, to me, the movie was, I thought it was good. It was very nostalgic, but unfortunately, it kind of left me leaving it the same way I would leave a high school reunion.
What do you mean?
Where you have expectations and hopes and dreams of things that you once knew. And then after an evening with them, you just leave kind of sad that it wasn't really up to your expectation.
I thought it met all my expectations. I was glad to see Louis. And
well, that was the thing. I mean, if your expectations were to see all the key funny points reimagined for this new one, then yeah, that's what it hit. But unfortunately, as far as Eddie Murphy coming out with a new comedy that was going to, at least be, as good as the last one, I thought there should at least be some original content.
Where is Eric LaSalle? Why wasn't Eric LaSalle?
Yeah, that was the Eric LaSalle and no Samuel L. Jackson. Those are the two things I said were missing.
Well, Samuel L. Jackson was only in it for 2 seconds.
I know, but he could have come to Zamunda or something.
He has a diseased rhinoceros pizzle.
I know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Dustin, that maybe, this is a 30-year reunion, 31 or 32 years, maybe 33.
Yeah.
And the last high school reunion I went to was my 10th. Jeff's been to the subsequent ones, but I went to the 10th. I had a good time and I didn't walk away thinking anything weird, but I get what you're saying. Your expectations are you're going to hook up with that cheerleader and she's like 400 pounds and
yeah, got three or four kids and two of them look like you.
Yeah. Sherry Headley. She was great. Everybody looked really good, like they hadn't really aged all that much. I saw people complaining about the barbershop guys. Well, they'd be dead by now. It's a movie.
Yeah.
And they were the funniest part of the first one.
Yeah. I liked how they didn't age literally at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they, Yeah, none of them. They used the exact same setup on them. I mean, it was funny, and I enjoyed it. It seemed like it was hitting a lot of the same jokes, mm-hmm. almost verbatim. But to me, it seemed like it was about 10 to 15 years too late. It's what it ultimately walking away from it. I was like, it's too far. It's been too long. But
if you'd seen it in a theater full of people, though, I bet
you would
a lot more.
Yeah, I think that would have been a big difference too. And it was, you know, for me, it was. I think I didn't end up watching it till like Saturday morning. It's like when first, you know, woke up and watched it. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if I'd have been, you know, a different mindset, would have been better.
Well, I think the thing I liked about it. I mean, I liked a lot about it, but one thing I really liked about it is that Caitlin and I got to sit down on a Saturday night and watch a movie together. You know, we haven't gone to the movies in over a year, and sitting down, you know, we got the new TV and we turned the big sound thing on that we got, and it was great. And to me, it was a flood of nostalgia, but I enjoyed the new story. I enjoyed the new cast members that were brought in. I loved Colin Jost.
Colin Jost. Yeah.
As Mr. Duke, who was grandson of the Dukes. And then that big mural behind him.
Yep.
I was hoping there'd be others from that film, but that was enough. That was all you need. And I loved how throughout the movie they're insulting, you know, like throwing out African names. And he goes something he says to Dikembe, and then Dikembe Mutombo stands up. Was okay.
Yeah, it was definitely they definitely hit on the cameos.
Oh, yeah.
There was a ton of people in that, and they did a pretty decent job of making downtown Atlanta look like neat. Streets in New York City,
right?
Except for the trees.
Yeah, no doubt. And then you can see, like, always when you see these movies that are supposed to be in New York or anywhere else, you can see the top of a building or a sign or a bus and go, ah, that's Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Eddie was great, and it was wonderful at the end to see Randy Watson show up and Sexual Chocolate. I loved En Vogue and Salt and Pepper. I mean, because I dug all that stuff back then. James Earl Jones was great. Cherry Headley already said. Wesley Snipes' character was funny as shit. I love
Jermaine Fowler.
Was funny. Yeah. What'd you say, Jeff?
Jermaine Fowler, the Eddie's son.
Oh, yeah. He was great. Where do I know him from?
He's been in a bunch of stuff. He was on some comedy show that I used to watch. I can't remember what it was called.
And
he was great on that, too.
And as usual, when you have Leslie Jones in something, she's so larger than life that you have to know how to make her work. Whereas she didn't work in the Ghostbusters movie because that was a pile of shit. This, she was to me the best of the new people, because she was funny. And she, when, like I said, when she's in a movie, she really takes over the scene. And she made me laugh my ass off. As usual, I think she's funny. She's used properly. It was nice seeing John Amos. It was nice seeing Louis Anderson. Didn't one of Eddie Murphy's kids play one of the daughters,
one of the princesses. Oh,
yeah.
Tracy Morgan, fucking funny, great. And the Linnell lady, she was in the first Borat movie, right?
Yeah,
she's a local lady. What's that?
She's been on like Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff.
Yeah, she's great. This is, it was for me, like I said, it was great. I love Trevor Noah, I love Morgan Freeman. Everybody was really good. So it's a movie that I probably would watch again. Not as many times as I've seen the original, of course.
Right.
I still watch that over and over again. But definitely a good film. So good job, Eddie Murphy, and everybody who put it together. And if you're local and you listen to this, good job if you worked on the film.
There was a bit of Eddie Murphy fat shaming going on, like after Boba Fett showed up on The Mandalorian.
What?
On Twitter and stuff, people were saying, Eddie Murphy's so fat.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did have a little bit of a belly, but who cares?
Leave the guy alone. He's a king. 30 years.
And he's a king. I mean, he's just in character.
And again, I wanted to say this one thing. I didn't say it, so again, doesn't work. But it's taken a movie from the late 80s. And in the late 80s, if you made a comedy, and Eddie Murphy was a huge box office draw throughout the 80s and early 90s. But if you made a movie, you had to make a comedy film that everybody could go and see. And I think in this weird time in which we live, where everything is a conflict, social media, the news, everything is just people are at each other. People hate each other, this and that and other thing. He made a sequel that is accessible to everyone who liked the first movie. And it's accessible to a younger crowd of people because it had all the stuff in it. And I think that is a success to make a film like this in 2020 and release it in 2021 or whenever they made it. I just think it was a very strong victory for Eddie Murphy. And I've always been a fan of his, and anything he does, I like to see it succeed. So,
yeah, I think it did it broached the woke angle very well. Mm-hmm. It did a good job without being over.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Going too far for sure. But to show you how much I was on the fence with this, after I watched it, I immediately turned on and watched as much as I could of The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Oh,
because I wanted to, you know, back it up against something I knew was not good. And yeah, so I made it about 15-20 minutes into that one before I couldn't watch it anymore. So it made me feel better about it for some weird reason.
I watched Boomerang again afterwards.
Boomerang's oh, okay. good.
I don't yeah, know. Boomerang's a great movie.
Boomerang. Nash still doesn't. It's still no good.
Distinguished Gentleman. That's a good movie.
Yep.
Of course, The Clumps. It would have been cool if, like you said last week, if The Clumps had been in this, but that might have been a little too much. But it would have been funny to see them at the wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he still did a ton of time doing all those characters from the barbershop and makeup. But Arsenio Hall playing that old scary grandma, that was an amazing makeup job.
I love Arsenio too. He's a guy that I think he got into that talk show, and then after the talk show, what did he do? I mean, he didn't do a lot of movies, he didn't do a lot of TV. I always liked him. And I thought he was a hilarious stand-up comic in the 80s, late 80s.
Yeah, he was.
He always did that funny bit about, you know, when you're rolling a joint and you're at a party and then you're licking it and everything.
I think it was Arsenio that picked Louis too to be in the first one.
Really?
I think I saw something where they were talking about, all right, well, you got to have a white guy in the movie. And so they, Arsenio said, you know, thought in his head, who's the funniest white guy we know? And it was Louis Anderson.
And he was great for that character because he's yeah. Someday I hope to be a assistant manager. I don't know why. He was cool in the film, and I like if you follow him on Instagram, there's all sorts of pictures of him in the McDowell's outfit. Oh, I love the McFurby.
Yeah,
put the toppings on the top, Osgo on the bottom. And great film overall. Let's pivot a little bit and talk about something I found to be disappointing overall. And that is the conclusion of WandaVision, a show that I enjoyed for the most part. And like everyone else, was expecting some sort of interesting conclusion. And I don't think that we got that.
Yeah, I was expecting a Luke Skywalker-esque cameo that they promised us. I guess they were talking about Quicksilver the whole time. I don't know.
No, I think ultimately it was Paul Bettany gaslighting all the fans with, you know, what he was saying, and of course Tim was right. He was referring to himself.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, I think the I don't know. Like I said, last time we talked about it, the fan theories seem to reach for the stars and then, you know, a lot of them come out, you know, swinging because there's, you know, stuff didn't happen. But Kevin Smith did an interview on Fat Man on Batman podcast with one of the writers and creators of WandaVision, and he said that they did pull at the last minute a cameo that was going to be in that was the engineer that the lady was talking about. So that, you know, I'm thinking that is probably going to be Fantastic Four. Because
the engineer, what do you mean?
When she was talking, she kept referring to the engineer. Hold on. Got some guy racing motorcycles outside my house.
Wouldn't that have been the Watcher then? Is that the engineer, the Watcher?
I thought Agatha was the engineer of everything.
Well, I mean, when Rambo is out talking about how she needs an engineer that can make her something, and that's how she got the machine, the one that got turned into the van when she tried.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
So that was her connection that she had through her mom, who, you know, who ran S.W.O.R.D.
Doesn't Monica look like she's wearing a Fantastic Four outfit?
Yes, that's why yeah, because it's very similar. I think if you took the S.W.O.R.D. insignia off and put a four on it, yeah, that's probably going to be.
So she's going to be the Invisible Woman.
No, she's Spectra. That became totally clear. Well, it became an idea when she went back through and her eyes turned blue.
Okay,
she could see things that was different, and then but in this one when she was actually fighting or Pietro and she sees the necklace around the neck. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. And it lets her, and you see it waving, and she's able to see that magic is going through it. And that's her power. She can see in, on all spectrums.
Okay.
And the same reason she was able to absorb the bullets and let them pass through her was because she could turn into energy. Because she has the same, did you ever watch Captain Marvel?
No.
Okay. Well, if you didn't watch Captain Marvel, that was why Rambo was probably, you know, you missed all of her story because she was a little girl in that one, and her mom and Captain Marvel were best friends. They were pilots together. And so when the, you know, that's why she always had, they said that, why are you mad about Captain Marvel? It's because Captain Marvel left Earth and didn't come back when her mom got cancer. And then she set and had to set with her, and then her mom died, and then the snap happened, and then she came back, and she never heard from Captain Marvel, you know, the one that was supposed to be her mom's best friend that was going to take care of her when she, when her mom left. Mm-hmm. And so that was where the animosity came from. But she's also, you know, has powers now, which fall right in line with her storyline in the comics. So she is an actual superhero at this point.
What do you think of the overall ending?
It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, I liked the resolution of her becoming the actual Scarlet Witch. And definitely with her at the very, you know, spoilers at the very end when
spoiler alert
in the mountains, that definitely shows that there's two sides to her. I think that the Scarlet Witch inhabits her more than she is the Scarlet Witch. And just like Dr. Strange can take his astral self out and read and learn while his body sleeps, she can do the same thing. She can relax and have this persona that she's pushing forward, but in the back of it, it's the Scarlet Witch, you know, learning everything that she needs to know and learn. And obviously she got the Darkhold. So she's, you know, reading that, and, you know, she's stronger than Dr. Strange ultimately, but she's got to learn how to use it before she can.
So, but she's not a mutant then in the Marvel universe. She is not a mutant. They've taken that out.
Right. They were able to retcon that by her become, you know, with this whole witch storyline, it sets up the fact that she's not a mutant, but she was a witch that became this other witch because, you know, they made it look like she had powers to begin with. They just weren't, you know, she was using them on reflex.
Kind of a Dark Phoenix thing, sort of.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
If you're into the whole Marvel thing. I thought Catherine Hahn, who, you know, of course, was Agatha or whatever the fuck, I thought she was great the entire series. I liked Evan Peters being in it. I'm disappointed that he's not Quicksilver. Kat Dennings. Yeah, Kat Dennings, I thought her character was kind of stupid. Randall Park, I thought he was great. I like Deborah Jo Rupp. It's nice to see her in anything. But all in all, at the end, you saw the post credits or mid credit whatevers. So there's two films that this is, you know, leading to. One of them I won't say probably, which is the Captain Marvel sequel, and the other one would be Doctor Strange, the sequel to Doctor Strange. So that one I look forward to. I loved Doctor Strange. I thought it was a very, very good film.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, there won't be another season of WandaVision. So I hope they do more stuff like WandaVision. I think
that I'm hoping Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be good.
Yeah. It's the funny, not funny, but a well done with humor series that has the spirit of Marvel in it, but also does fan service. Because if you don't do that fan service, you're just throwing money away.
I think the Falcon and the Winter Soldier will go, you know, this went with the comedic kind of, you know, fantastical aspect. I think this Winter Soldier is going to go more, you know, like a Bourne movie, or kind of like Winter Soldier, Captain America's Winter Soldier was more of a spy movie than a Marvel movie. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We don't have enough time to talk about Pepe Le Pew being canceled and digitally removed from the Space Jam sequel, but that's okay because, you know, he's got to go. He's a horrible polecat. And they try again to cancel Speedy Gonzalez, but they can't because he is an iconic and well-loved character in the Latin American world. So anytime they try to do it, all those people on Twitter are like, no, you're not doing that. We love Speedy Gonzalez. So go fuck yourself. So Speedy stays. Pepe Le Pew, though, permeates, you know, it's male toxicity and all that jazz. But anyway, rest in peace, Pepe Le Pew, you stinky bastard. We are going to speak now with Waco O'Gwin. Maybe we will speak with Roger Black as well. But if not, we will talk to Waco all about Paradise PD. So don't go anywhere. All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year, so let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly. Oh, okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out, and that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices. If you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us
about he should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right. Welcome to the show, Radio Labyrinth guests, previous guests. I'm losing it because I've been up all day. We got Roger Black and Waco O'Gwin, the creators of so many wonderful things, going all the way back to this, which
is
on the podcast.
Oh, wow. Look at that crappy Photoshop work.
Lamb Show DVD, where you get to see Roger's huge cock. And
oh, man. I hope that's the only copy.
Painted purple like Barney the Dinosaur. This is cancellation on a DVD right here. I will never release this to anybody. Guys, thanks for coming on the show. Coming on to talk about season 3 of Paradise PD and a new deal with Netflix, I've been told. And
yeah.
So congratulations. Tell us what you've been doing in the new normal.
We've been staying at home. Not getting our hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
And on a Zoom writer's room for the past 10, 11 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. We just got done writing 20 episodes on Zoom, and it was hell on earth.
You do all your cast, your table reads on Zoom?
Everything.
Man.
We found that we can produce the entire show from start to finish from home.
Wow. Hollywood will figure that out, and then there'll be even less money.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's possible in our show.
Yeah.
But
well, congratulations, though, man. Three seasons and kicking ass. And so what else is in store?
Well, we have part three coming out this Friday of Paradise, and then a whole new show called Farzar that'll be out in about a year.
Farzar, like Z-A-R?
Yeah.
F-A-R-Z-A-R, right?
And that's it.
Sci-fi.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Animated?
Of course. That's all they let us do anymore.
Tell us about it. Can you? Whatever can you can.
Can you tell us anything about it? Any voices lined up? Or?
Yeah, we have some of the same voices from Paradise on there. We got Dana Snyder, you know.
He's the best.
He's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Dude, it better be all you say, because you know we're not supposed to say this yet.
Don't get in trouble. I mean, if you can't say something. I was going to, you know, is Tom Kenny going to be on it too?
I'm sure he will. We love Tom.
Because I was thinking, being an ensemble show, like the damn show at one point was, and Tom Kenny being on Mr. Show makes me think of Jay Johnson, who was one of the, you guys.
Is that confirmed? Did that really happen?
Everyone says it's him.
People are saying he was on Bob's Burgers too. He did voices for Bob's.
Yeah.
He may have been in that movie that we were extras in, that Run Ronnie Run movie. I wonder if
Yeah, I think so.
You guys are in that?
Yeah, way in the background.
As extras.
As extras, yeah.
I watched it once. I downloaded it illegally. They told everybody to do that.
Downloaded it illegally.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah, they're like, they don't like establishment. Like, they were always come out against HBO and like, fuck HBO.
Yeah.
And that's like, fuck our own movie. I don't know why, but
it's all right. It wasn't a bad film, but it wasn't that great, but it was funny. It was better than well, I don't want to say, go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. If, I don't know, I guess he lives in LA. I don't know. I almost feel maybe he went crazy, 'cause he was a Trump supporter who lived out here. Because I can only imagine that stuff. It's gonna be tough on anybody. It's that much of a Trump guy in LA. Like, who do you talk to about that out here?
I don't know if you. I don't know how anybody could like a politician enough to go. I have people on my street. I live in Tucker, but people on my street who went to went to a previous rally, and they always stop by because they know that I work at WSB. So they think that makes me a right winger or something. So they're like, hey, you want to go down to the Capitol rally? No, I don't want to. No, you don't have to wear a mask. Okay, I know that. I don't want to go. I want to go talk to Alex Jones and that Saudi guy that looks like Davis Jr.
But yeah, I think the Mr. Show guy, I think some of his friends or colleagues were like the ones turning him in. It's like,
yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, bust him. We don't want to work
with him. I heard him talking about that stuff. But isn't it a crazy story? Man,
that is weird, because you don't expect to see, you know, John Voight. Maybe he would have gone. I don't know.
yeah. Maybe him. But yeah, it's a surprise.
Or the guy from. Go ahead.
He's going to have a tough time getting work if that wasn't him.
Yeah, well, he's done if that was him. I mean,
I think that's
far worse than what Gina Carano did.
Yeah.
She didn't go to any rallies. you already asked my question. So the voice actors, that's what's curious to me, because how is the quality of that if you do it at home, or do they go to a studio?
You have to tell us when it comes out. Only a handful of them go to a studio anymore. Almost everyone does it at home. And some, they have these kits from the studio that they send out sometimes, and other people have just purchased a professional mic. But then you can hear motorcycles and kids screaming and dogs barking, and it takes so much longer. And like just this morning, we were working with one of our favorite actors, and he had just, you know, he just hit the perfect take, like, yeah, that's it. And then the engineer goes, nope, that was like clipped. They're like,
no.
Because they can't control really, you know, telling them how close to get, or I guess they, you know, our engineer back in the day, he would like ride the knob. If he knew like Tom Kenny was going to scream, he'd already look at the script and be prepared for it. So all that's out the window.
That, right.
It just takes so much longer.
Can you tell us anything about season three of Paradise PD?
Yeah, it's them, you know, mainly them dealing with the, you know, we ended with a big nuclear explosion,
right?
And they thought everybody was dead, I guess. But it's just them dealing with the fallout of that. Mainly, the town's destroyed. There are mutants everywhere. Everything's radioactive, and kind of trying to rebuild the town. And then Fitzgerald isn't like, you know, season two, he was kind of like this alt personality, the kingpin. That's gone, but he's, as a kingpin, he married a dolphin. So Fitz wakes up, he's married to the dolphin, and he feels bad. He doesn't want to divorce the dolphin. So he's like, all right, I'm going to try to make this work. I'm going to try to make it work with the dolphin.
Trying to do the right thing.
Do the right thing. By the way, there's a lot of stuff that happens because, you know, Karen's pregnant and, you know, Chief has no testicles. So we have to figure out how that happened.
Right. But,
there's 12 episodes. So there's just like, there's so much to fill up. So we end up doing like a Dukes of Hazzard spoof. This whole episode is just Dukes of Hazzard.
Are they running all 12 of them at the same time? Or
Yeah. Worldwide, this Friday.
Friday.
Nice.
Were you allowed to have the Confederate flag on the Charger?
It's there. I don't know if you see it much. But, I mean, look, we had a character on Brickleberry that had a Confederate flag on the whole.
I know.
The whole scene. I mean, but it's not like we're saying that's a good thing.
No, I know.
Just we make fun of the car. We like, yeah, this is a racist car, but you know, whatever. So I think if you're kind of poking fun at it, they don't,
you know. We've gone this far. I haven't introduced Dustin, and I feel bad. Dustin.
He's the, hey, guys.
Hey, Dustin.
And he's like the miracle worker, taking over our YouTube page and probably the reason why we're getting views and stuff. So I just want to introduce him. Like, hey, just sit there and be quiet.
I had a question for you guys. Dealing with the pandemic and the work schedule changing, like you were saying, did it speed up any other aspect of it? I mean, I know animation was pretty much the only game in town that was working during the pandemic. Did it actually help it come out any earlier?
Sped up our commutes. I mean, the workflow
was pretty much the same.
Yeah.
We didn't think, like, when this happened, we're like, we're going to shut down. We assumed everything was going to shut down because we thought it was going to last 2 weeks. So it's like, we'll shut down for 2 weeks, then we'll come back to the office. But Bento was like, nope, we're moving all the computers home. And we're like, we're not going to be able to hit our same deadlines from home. There's just no way. We completely didn't believe it could happen. But it happened. We hit every deadline. Now, everything does take a little longer. As far as anything that's easier, I mean, taking a shit is better. You're going to have to do it at work. That's incredible. I don't have to pee around people, so I don't have to duck in and be all pee shy and stuff. So that's mainly just bathroom stuff is better.
Yeah.
But everything is slower, but we still hit every deadline, which is amazing. The table reads kind of suck. They're still pretty good, but I mean, our table reads used to be like a party. Everybody just laughing, and the cast is so great. But you know, on Zoom, you got that delay, and then if people laugh, it mutes the actor. So you kind of have to deal with all that. But
you think by now,
are coming out about the same. You know, I think they're going to be okay.
You think by now that they would have the technology perfected where there's no loss, but we have such a shitty digital infrastructure that it's impossible, I think.
Yeah, it would be great if they could figure that. I mean, maybe if we keep going for a couple of years with this COVID thing.
Don't worry, we're going to. I want everybody to wear 17 masks. Fuck Texas. Do you get back here to Georgia much off? Much often. Do you get back to Georgia often?
Not since we used to go back a lot, but of course not since this started.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I want Barbaritos. I wish somebody would mail me Barbaritos.
What's Barbaritos?
You know, in Athens, that burrito joint.
In Athens, yeah. Right?
Oh. If not, I recommend it. It's incredible.
I felt like I haven't left really Tucker more than, I don't know, 10 times. Sometimes I go out to visit my parents out in Hiram, but I haven't been down to my office since April. And I'm thinking about going back this week because we're allowed to, but I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I'm all getting ready. I got my bag packed. I'm ready to go to work tomorrow. I know I'm going to wake up and go, oh, I could always not shower again and just put hat on and go to the radio show.
That and notice we all have hats.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Roger and Waco are on. Maybe I should shower today. Nah.
It's like all is optional now.
It is.
Why should we shower?
Yeah.
You know. It's a pain in the ass, really. You can take your socks off. I mean, the whole thing.
Well, any big guest stars in season three?
Lance Reddick's back from The Wire.
Oh, I love him.
Oh man, he's so funny. Like, we wanted to get him because he sounded very serious, but we didn't know how funny he was and how much he loves just stupid humor. So he clicks with us so well. He laughs harder than anybody when he sees a line that's just the dumbest thing ever written. Crack up for like 10 minutes before
he I loved him on season two, so I was hoping he'd come back.
Oh yeah, he's got a pretty big part. And we would, you know, it looks like we're going to continue working with him. Hint, hint, but I'm not saying anything that I'll get
into. Hey, he's got a great voice too. Just his voice.
So great.
Yeah.
He was pretty much the fulcrum for the last couple seasons of The Wire. You know, everything going on around him. If you guys are into that show, I was obsessed with it for a long time. And just like with The Sopranos, the actors on that show, if they do something else, I'll at least give it a shot. Like, I couldn't watch The Affair or whatever that stupid show was, but you know, I gave it a shot anyway. But I love Reddick and anything that he's been in, I dig. And
yeah,
but
he's good. Gary Delabate,
you had him
a line.
Nice,
one line. That's enough.
Does he play Gary Delabate or a character?
Oh, no. He does. I don't think he knew he was playing Gary Delabate.
I met him at the Super Bowl in 2019, and it was so stupid. As I see Gary Delabate walking by me, because we were in the media area. I'm like, oh my God, it's Bob. And I'm a 48-year-old guy. I want to meet Gary. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey man, can I just shake your hand? He goes, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
You can shake my hand after I go to the bathroom.
There you go.
Did he come back?
Well, he did. And then I said, can I get a picture? He goes, hold the camera up. I got a fat chin. Hold the camera.
Then he talked to you for 4 hours and you got sick of him.
No, he goes, I gotta go. And he patted me on the back. I spoke longer with Thurman Thomas than I did Baba Booey. You weren't really allowed to bug people if you're there with the media, but you know, they would come to you like the old kicker for the Falcons, Morton Anderson. Do you want to talk about my beef? I'm this fucking beef shit or I can't, whatever.
So Tim was the only one that believed in us up at 96 Rock. They all thought we were, you know, just screwing around and, you know, like, especially Larry, he thought we were just idiots, which we were, but you're Jay, you're like, look, this stuff's actually kind of funny. And, you know, they're doing stuff. They didn't want to hear
it. See it. When I took home the damn show DVD, put it in the DVD player and watched it, it was nonstop laughing. I took it to my cousin's place. I watched this with my uncle, who is now in his 80s, but at the time he was in his, I guess, 70s, 60s or 70, early, whatever. And he loved it. And he's, you know, he was an old school actor guy. So he's one of the few of my older relatives that I thought would appreciate it. He loved it. He said, that's funny stuff. And, but my cousin and I rolling around laughing at it. And I'm like, these guys have to keep, you know, if you know them, keep pushing because, it's good stuff. So I've always been happy for your success. And I love that you'll come on and talk to us. Even when, you know, when you went up to do Yucko on Howard, everybody was mad. And I was like, why are you mad? I mean, good for him. I mean,
the regular guy's show was great for cutting, you know, my teeth and radio and everything, you know, right. I don't like, you know, fucking open mic nights and stuff like that. I'd never really been on like broadcast or anything like that before, so it was really, I learned a lot doing regular guy's show and everything.
Oh, some of this stuff's hilarious. There were people waiting in the parking lot to kill you one time.
Was that after you fought Ben, or was you fought Ben the Bunny Man? And Ben the Bunny Man was this guy that used to be on the regular guy's radio show in the early 2000s, passed away in 2008. In fact, 2 days after we had him on our welcome back show.
Oh man,
it was saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a valve, an animal valve in his heart, and he had to have it replaced. And so we had him on the show. This was the week we came back on Rock 100.5. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it back. I want to be on the show. And I don't mean that to make fun of him. We love
him. Yeah, that's how he talked.
Yeah. And he did. He passed away on the operating table, and it was really sad. We all went to his funeral, and, you know, whatever. But he was a cool dude, and, you know, he's on, what's that guy, that country singer's name that owned the, is it Zach something or other?
Zach Brown?
Yeah, yeah. He used to play at this place where Ben was a Nene, which is DJ. And he put him on one of his records, Sick Him on a Chicken. You know, Ben, it was a cool thing to do. But that was so funny. You wrestled him at the ESPN Center. I wrestled him as we created a character called Bob the Bunny Man, who was a handsome hair lip.
Wow.
So I wore a bunny costume and he beat the shit out of me. And then
he had some strength, man.
Dude, he was tough. And I stood up, you know, revealed that it was me. And then I got punched in the face by one of the fans. I'm like, fuck, what's this? This sucks. Oh,
God. It's still real to me.
We're going to have him on, Dave Wills. He lives here in Georgia. I ran into him at AEW. One of the last things I did before COVID was go see wrestling at Phillips Arena. I had no idea who any of them were. My brother goes, that's Luke Perry's kid. Oh, okay, cool. But yeah, those days were fun. So, you know, like we'll love having you guys on. You guys are funny. And
yeah, definitely come back when the new show starts and let us know all about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Slip like Tom Holland again.
What?
I'm like a fat Tom Holland. This is the show.
I want to talk about
a surprise that Dana's on the new show to anybody.
Is he fun to work with? He seems like
he's the best.
We've had him on the podcast a couple times. Nice, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, because there's so many good voices and stuff. Yeah,
he's great, and I hope that Adult Swim stuff comes back too, like Aqua Teen and Squidbillies. You know, Squidbillies, they need a new lead.
Yeah,
yeah.
We heard about that.
That guy went nuts on Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, you can't do that.
Not what he did. Jesus, did you see what he wrote?
Yes, I heard about it.
What a dope.
A great voice he had, though.
I know.
It was a perfect voice for that role. It's unfortunate.
I was campaigning to try and get Tim to step in to do the impersonation of him for the rest of the season.
I tried. It didn't work. I can't do that. They need a big name.
I think you could have done it and probably fooled everybody if you worked on it.
Yeah. I'd rather
we've done that. You know, we replaced an actress with someone who sounded just like her and just prayed nobody noticed, so. On Brickleberry.
Oh yeah,
it happened.
Oh yeah,
a lot of people didn't notice.
Then did you have the diehard? I don't like the new voice.
Oh yeah, we definitely had some of those. But
one last question I wanted to ask. I should have asked it earlier. But when you're writing the show, how difficult is it mentally to stay in the lines during the woke era? Because you have to navigate now. You have to be safe. And so do you write it all out, what's in your head, and then go, well, we can't do this, can't do that?
I don't think we've changed anything.
Good.
The fact that it's a cartoon, I think, gives them a lot of leeway.
Yeah, and I think if you hit both sides equally,
yeah,
both sides are pretty fucking stupid.
I think some things got toned down on the move from, like, Comedy Central to Netflix, but then a lot of things went up, like, 12 notches, too, right, because we had no S&P. Like any kind of sex stuff, all that just went through the roof on Netflix. but some of the stuff we were doing on Brickleberry, if you go back and watch that, I'm like, holy shit, that was crazy. So I guess we have toned down, but since we moved to Netflix, I mean, they've been good about just letting us be the insane show and letting us kind of do what we want. And, you know, I mean, yeah, if this is a live action show, it'd probably be a lot different.
Yeah.
You keep in touch with Dan Natasha though?
Yeah, he came back. We worked with him last year on the crossover. We did the Brickleberry Paradise crossover, and he came back and he came in the studio. We got to hang out with him a little bit. So that was cool.
I was sad that his show got canceled on Comedy Central. I don't know what they're doing over there. Just canceled.
I don't know what happened to Comedy Central. Like they just had picked him up for like 3-4 seasons, and then they probably had to pay him out for all that since it's like, I don't know what they're doing. They want to do all animation. They want to be like Adult Swim now.
Oh, really?
It's like all animation pretty much. They're bringing back Beavis and Butthead.
How can they
bring back Ren and Stimpy? But I think that might have went away in that documentary and everything.
Oh, that was a good documentary, though.
I think Bobby Moynihan's working on some shows for Comedy Central, some cartoon shows.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
How did they bring back Beavis and Butthead? The last time they did it, they did reality shows because there aren't music videos really anymore. Well, there are, but
YouTube videos.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're also doing a new Beavis and Butthead movie, I think, for the new streaming service.
Please let me live a couple more years so I can enjoy all these things again. What other do you get a lot of accolades in Athens? Do you do other local media or like big media when you come back or in town?
You know, the papers, they all kind of still run stuff on us.
Cool.
You know, the Banner Herald, I don't know how many people read that thing anymore, but they're nice enough to still run stuff on us, because we would always, they'd always put little things back when we were doing the show in Athens, and the red and black there in Athens still does stuff on us whenever we have a new season.
Yeah, college newspaper.
Yeah. If somebody send these guys some damn burritos.
Oh, yeah. Man, please.
We'll help.
Don't even care. Don't even put dry ice in it. I'll eat it anyway. I'll take the food poisoning.
Is Rackham still around?
No, he passed away years and years ago. 2012, maybe, something like that.
How about Taekwondo guy?
We lost touch with him.
That's shocking.
He's a tough guy. He might still be around.
Taekwondo.
I've heard rumors he may still be around. That would be amazing if he is.
Could anybody find this DVD, the Damn Show DVD, if they...
No.
No?
No, I can't. You hang on to that one, because there's not any more.
Well, hit me up if you need it. Roger and Waco, thank you guys very much for coming on again. You're welcome anytime. Even if you got something that you just want hit, we'll plug it for you, because
sure.
You guys rock.
Thank you, guys. Good to see everybody.
You too.
And we're looking forward to season 3, Paradise PD, on Netflix Friday.
Awesome.
Yeah. Stay safe. You come back to Georgia, and Brian Kemp, he'll make you, give you the key to the city here to stay.
Sure, he won't.
Come on back. All right. Yeah.
All right. So, hey, your mama and them.
Say hi to your mama and them. Kelly left her. She wants to see you too. All right. Damn it.
All right. See y'all later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Ah, that was fun. Those guys are great.
Yeah, those guys are awesome. Yeah,
that's good.
Hey, I love that we're having a lot more guests. Tell us out there if you want us to ask for anybody else, or if you have an idea, or if you know somebody that would like to come on the show. Just hit up me, Jeff, or Dustin, or Steph, if you like. And don't forget that coming up on the weekend edition of Radio Labyrinth, we will have Garrett Kimball. We'll see how we did on Forged in Fire, and we'll talk to one of the judges. So we'll see you then. All right, so let's talk about what we watched. Steph isn't on the show tonight, obviously, so I'll read hers real quick. She watched WandaVision, The Lie. I don't know what The Lie is, either of you?
No.
We're going to have to ask her about that. Notorious B.I.G., which is a biggie. I got a story to tell. That was an awesome documentary, and really puts you back in place and tells you a lot of stuff that you might not have known about if you were into that back in the 90s. I always liked Biggie, and I always liked Tupac, and I always hate the fact that we don't know who killed either of them, or we do, and it's just never been released. But we can talk more about that. I know Steph watched it. I got Moxie is another show she watched, which I don't know what that is either.
That's an Amy Poehler directed movie about the girl that starts the zine.
Okay. That's right.
I'm going to watch it though.
And her staff pick is something I'm going to watch. Dark Side of the Ring Confidential, which premieres this week on Vice. It's a 90-minute talk show with the creators and some of the cast members and wrestlers from Dark Side of the Ring. And Vice is really getting into this. You know, Vice has primarily been a network for younger people, but now they're doing these documentaries. They're going to do the dark side of football, the darks, all these things, and it'll be for older audiences, you know, old fucks like us Gen X people. And I want to see if we can get some people who were on that show to talk to us. And guys, I dig that shit. So that's staff pick.
Cool.
I'll go next. I already talked about Biggie. I got a story to tell on Netflix, Coming to America, WandaVision. I listened to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast with Michelle Lee. You guys know who Michelle Lee is?
No.
Yes.
She was one of the main cast members on Knott's Landing, which was a spinoff of Dallas. But prior to that, and after that, she's a noted Broadway performer, singer. She worked with Jerry Lewis. She worked with Bob Hope. She worked with Dean Martin. She worked with so many people. And of course, when you're listening to Gilbert and Frank Santopadre, they know everything. And there's a lot of funny stuff in it. So I highly recommend that. And my staff pick is Forged in Fire this week. I've been telling you guys for the last month, you got to watch this Wednesday, which is March 10th. Record it, watch it, and then listen to our episode that comes out Saturday morning, as we'll be speaking with Garrett Kimball to see how well he did and one of the judges. So that's my stuff.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. It will keep.
I watched all that same stuff. I watched Debris on NBC. Did you guys watch that?
No.
I watched the pilot.
Yeah, I watched the first one. It was pretty decent for a network show. I'm going to stick with it.
It has the kind of fringe feel to it.
Yeah.
On a bigger scale, though, which is kind of cool.
What's it like about? A little X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
What's it about?
Some UFO blew up over Earth, and the pieces of it have weird properties that mess with people when they touch them.
Okay.
So these people are several different agencies are trying to gather up all the pieces.
Yeah, and then it just starts storylines with different people, you know, across the area that end up touching them or come in contact with them.
Right. Yeah,
go ahead.
I think there's like a faction of people that are trying to get them for themselves, for their powers.
Yeah.
Oh, so they turned into a superhero?
Yeah, something.
Did either of you watch The Vast of Night?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
If you're a radio guy, it has that in the plot. So
okay.
I watched The Bridge on HBO Max. That's a reality show. It's kind of like Survivor. They take these 10, 12 people and stick them on this island, and they have a certain amount of time to build a bridge to get to the prize money.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they're doing, and they're fucking up. And
right.
as people get voted off the island, they say shit like, "Hey, we'll give you $10,000 if you destroy 100 feet of the bridge," as they're leaving. So people like go and fuck with the bridge that they're building.
Uh-huh.
Get 10 grand when they leave, shit like that. It was decent. It was fun, like British. So I imagine they'll probably make an American version eventually, but it was fun to watch. And Wellington Paranormal, I'm still stealing that. And Rhys Darby was on episode 2 of season 3 playing his character Anton from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, that's right. I saw a teaser for that on Twitter. I still
He didn't turn into a werewolf, though. I was expecting he would, but they kind of teased that maybe the werewolf is the creature that they're looking for, but it's not.
Why can't they get that on here? Why can't they get that?
They can. Jermaine said that they have a network and a streaming service lined up, but they just can't say anything yet.
Oh, all right.
So maybe by the time season 3 ends, they'll start running them. I don't know. They need to. And my staff pick is the South Park Vaccination Special. It's actually on opposite Forge and Fire, I think, or maybe an hour later.
On Wednesday. It's 8, I think. You can record both.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't wait for that either.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Let's see. I watched a lot of the same things. WandaVision, Coming to America. And then I decided I'm going to catch up on some stuff you guys have been talking about. So I watched Detroiters for the first time. That was really funny. I mean, that was really good. I've seen that comedian.
Tim Robbins.
Before. And he was really funny. But this is the first thing I've ever seen him in acting.
Right.
It was really good. A lot of the jokes are they're a little deeper than what they seem, which I thought was really good. It's really good writing.
Where are you watching that on?
What did I watch it on?
Is it on Hulu?
Paramount Plus.
Oh, Paramount Plus. Okay.
Yeah. It's on there. They got both seasons. Also I watched Tribes of Europa. I watched the first couple of it. And
yeah, what did you think of that?
I like it. It is the same, the same writer, same producer, the same crew that made Dark this is their right. next project. So it's good. I like the scope of it, how big it is. And then, you jump right into the political stuff, right off the bat, which was kind of cool. And of course I love their special effects. They have really good special effects, on what would, normally look like maybe like a Hercules looking show,
right?
But, you add, top notch special effects in it, and it really helps. So I'm going to keep going with that. Also watched the first episode of The Real World Reunion that Steph was talking about last show, and it was pretty funny. And I'd forgotten like how that show when it came out was so. I mean, they didn't even know what it was
right
when it came out. It was supposed to be just artists you know, living together for a little while, and they all thought it was going to be a stepping stone through MTV. And that was, you know, that was all they thought about it as. So, yeah, it was kind of cool, seeing how those people got back together, but it's funny how they're still the same people, and you can't change that. So, you know, the same dynamics still ultimately come up.
I didn't watch Real World until season 3 when Puck came along.
That was the Road Rules better. I liked Road Rules.
Yeah, ultimately I liked the Road Rules version just because it was a change of scenery all the time. That being in, you know, Big Brother, I think I liked I thought it was interesting the first season or so of it just for the concept, but you know, it turned into what everybody said it was going to turn into very quickly.
Right.
Across the board, you know, reality TV in general. And my staff pick is, it's already out on Netflix right now. It's a documentary called Murder Among the Mormons.
I saw a promo for that.
Yeah, that came on as a suggestion after Biggie. So that looks good.
Yeah. It looks pretty good. I mean, it kind of goes into the bombings that happened in Salt Lake, and the murder, you know, it was kind of a, you know, giant conspiracy in the church. And it's interesting to hear some of these guys talk about how they, you know, they still to this day, you know, are just, you know, walking in fear. It reminds me so much of like in a shitty American version of the Vatican and Vatican City and the politics that go along with
it.
Yeah, shitty Vatican.
Well, like a Salt Lake version of the Vatican City.
Better skiing.
Yeah. Better skiing and more American type of bullshit.
Probably better weed too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dustin. I want to recommend something before we wrap up here. By the way, thanks again to our guests. Everybody watch Paradise PD. And I want to give a shout out to a little place in Tucker, Georgia. If you've never been to Tucker, Georgia, that's where I live. It's incorporated now. It's pretty nice. But they have a new restaurant in town called Hot Betty's. It's been around for a couple of months. And they serve breakfast fare, and on the weekends they serve dinner fare. Now, this isn't, I'm not getting anything for this. I just want you to know that, but I love going there and I want to promote my town. So some of the things on their menu, they have chicken and waffles, biscuit and gravy. Their biscuits are awesome. They're big square biscuits. You know, you get a biscuit sandwich with egg on it. It's just like you need two hands to lift it and eat it. Hot Betty's, check them out on hotbettytucker.com. And they are on Main Street, right in beautiful downtown Tucker. Check them out. And, you know, we got dinner there Friday night. It's pretty good.
Do they have any outside tables?
No, you can eat inside.
Yeah, I know you can everywhere. I just feel more comfortable sitting outside places.
You can across the street at the new barbecue place. But no, you have to eat inside. And before we go, I want to, you know, if you're looking to adopt a dog or get a new dog to add to your family or a pet to add to your family, don't shop, adopt, go to barkvillerescue.org. They work tirelessly to save dogs from shelters in the Metro Atlanta area. Barkville Dog Rescue is funded by donations from generous individuals like many of our radios out there and organizations that want to help make it a better world for all dogs. And who doesn't want to make it a better world for all dogs? So go to barkvillerescue.org. All kinds of videos. You can see all the animals and read all sorts of testimonials. Check it out. And gosh,
keep it canine.
And until this weekend, keep it canine. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years. And we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the, they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm going to send those first out. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red. I don't want the Redbox troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors. Those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number five on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.